All right, Acts chapter 10 is where we are, Acts chapter 10. And tonight we're going to look back into our little series here on how the church needs to respond in face of woke ideology, the wokeism it's been referred to. And I have a confession to make, and maybe this is not a good thing. I think I always need to like giving the Word of God. I think I should, but this is, I just want y'all to know this is not a subject that I am just so excited about get up here and teaching on. Okay, this stuff is just twisted. Okay, it's some of it's dark in the sense of just it gets complex and it gets heavy. But you know, the truth of the matter is, if I only preached on things that I was excited about, then I'd probably only be preaching, you know, three quarters of the Bible. Okay? Because there are some things that we have to address in the Word of God that, that aren't necessarily, bright. But I do believe Christians should always have a bright ending. I believe because should have a bright outlook even when things look grim, we should always look past that. Amen. We can look past that. We can have the higher view. You know, it's like when you go travel. Those of you that have traveled know when you're traveling in some stormy weather, you get so high, you get where it's cloudy and dark and rainy and windy, and you can't see anything out the window but gray. But you get to a certain elevation and boom, there's the beautiful sun, beautiful blue sky, and all that cloud. It's like a solid cloud coverage underneath, right? Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, that needs to be the Christian's view. We do have to go through the gray at times, but we should always allow the Holy Spirit to lift us up above the darkness to understand that God is sovereign and God is in control. And there's nothing new under the sun. The things that we face and see in our culture today, there's nothing new. It's always been some kind of twist on the truth to cater to humanism, to cater to evolution, life without God, as man being God. And so, you know, I say all that to say this, these topics, some of the terminology as I get to studying it, I'm like, Lord, can we just say that this is what we shouldn't do, and let's just talk about what we should be doing. What does the Bible tell us to do when we are facing with things of this nature? So this is one of them, and I'm going to, with the Lord's help, but again, we'll trust the Holy Spirit to give us the insight that we need. Now, in Acts chapter 10, you're familiar perhaps with this account, Cornelius and Peter is going to be brought to this man by the leading of God, and he's going to be breaking through some barriers, if you will, that God does not want to be there. And it's a beautiful account of God teaching us and his children, and specifically Peter in this particular passage, that God desires to reach all people. And not only does he desire to reach all people, he considers all people equal. Okay? And one of the things that we see how the Lord responds here through Peter and even Cornelius is I believe, something we can learn from even tonight. Would you notice with me there, as while in verse 19, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And so when Peter went down, the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause whereof ye are come? And of course, they give the explanation here of Cornelius, a just man seeking after him. And then in verse 23, then he called them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And so as they came in on the morrow and entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them there and called them in. In verse 25, Peter was coming in. Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter took him up quickly, saying, "Stand up. I myself also am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said to them, "You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." Isn't that something? You see, God was even teaching there in the Word of God that we are all created in the image of God. No person on the face of this earth should ever be considered unclean based upon their ethnicity. Amen? And Peter was learning this, especially in the context of the gospel, of getting the gospel to all. This was breaking some barriers in Peter's mind because of the way the Jews looked at the Gentiles and even condescendingly at times. We understand that, but we see here very clearly God has showed him that shouldn't call any man common or unclean. You know, racism is a real problem, not only in America, but all over the world, as I have mentioned. And we understand it is a nasty, just despicable sin. And I will say that racism is a result of the sin nature. You know, when we think, or if I think someone is, or if I'm better than someone because of the color of my skin, then that is the epitome of pride, okay? And it's not of God. And what I want to do, tonight is just talk a little bit about how we can identify when this starts creeping into our culture. Not just racism, we know it's there, but when a culture starts saying that racism is only taking place with certain people. Listen, racism is taking place in the heart of every human being. Okay? And it's because I've seen it all around, even as doing missions work. It exists in the human race. And that goes back to the foundation, I believe, of how we should look at race from a biblical worldview. Now, please get this. This is the foundation of what we believe. We believe, from a Bible point of view, that race, and the way the world see it, really doesn't exist. We believe as Christians in one race. It's called the human race. One race. It's called Adam's race. We all come from Adam and Eve. And just because we have different tones of skin does not make one that is inherently racist as opposed to another. And so we have to understand that, but there's a teaching out there called critical race theory. And I'm not going to get into a lot of the weeds of it, but it is somewhat of an academic and even now of a street level philosophy. And what it does is it puts and pits ethnic groups against each other, basically in hopes of correcting historical inequalities. And we understand that that's not the answer. The answer, again, it goes back to doing exactly what God told us to do. And and that is the very fact that, number one, we see people as He sees them in His image. They are made in His image. Number two, we ought to love one another as He has loved us. but it's even getting into the church, and we have to be on guard. It's an ideology, as one says, that divides the world into oppressed groups and their oppressors, and aims to liberate the oppressed, also known as cultural Marxism. CRT borrows concepts from classical Marxism, dividing the world into the haves and the have-nots, and attempts to right the wrongs of previous generations through a redistribution of wealth and power. Even as terms you've heard, perhaps, of intersectionality, multiple groups of people having been historically oppressed, and then you have different degrees of being oppressed. For instance, if you would perhaps be a woman who was of a different color and was homosexual, you would have 3 degrees of oppressed. So you would, of those categories, the more oppressed you are, the more authority you have in your thoughts. Your thoughts are authoritative because of what you have experienced and what you consider because of who you are, your identity. And so it gets really twisted in that, and I'm not getting into all of this. It just is not biblical. I can say that without any doubt about it. Now, what is wrong with critical race theory? Well, we got to understand, first of all, that truth, again, this is a foundational statement. Truth is not determined by groups of people. What is truth determined by? God Almighty, the Word of God. But theoreticians, if you will, critical race, they've shifted the center of truth away from the objective standard and have basically gone towards a subjective perspective when it comes to the oppressed groups. And it all bases on experience. No doubt people have been treated wrongly. There is injustice all around us. But I think as God's people, let's recognize that, let's admit that, and let Christians get out and show that a difference can be made by simply showing the love of Jesus Christ, not living a life of guilt because of your color and thinking that because someone has labeled you as a racist just because of your skin color, you just simply say, no, I'm not. I'm a blood-bought child of God who loves everybody just like God loves them. And believe that God died for every single person just like He says He did, and that we should try to reach them as much as we possibly can. You see, truth is located, as one said, outside of a person's perspective. It's not integrated into divisive racial, social, sexual, income, or gender identities. And that is the fundamental problem of critical race theory. Again, critical race theory teaches that truth is simply integrated into divisive racial, social, sexual, income, or gender identities. And that is not what the Bible teaches. We remember that God's truth comes from the Word of God. It's the foundation of everything we believe and teach. It's the foundation of what we practice, and we do not apologize. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if so-called certain groups claim that they have the authority. We're not going to go for it. We're going to take what Jesus says, and we know that truth ultimately resides in our Savior, Jesus Christ, not in oppressed groups. And the Bible's clear on how we should treat the oppressed. We should seek to reach out and love them. We should reach out and extend the heart of God unto them. And I hope you do that. I hope I do that. We seek to do that. And that is what God calls us to do. But at the same time, we realize that we're not going to fall for this critical race theory that pits people against each other based upon their race.
We're going to go with what God says. And we know that there's over 90 times in the Word of God about the idea of how we should treat one another. And God's given us the tools to fight racial injustice. He really has. And we need to take heed of what the Word of God says. Number one, think about this. Just the very fact that Jesus said, love one another. Not only did He say, love one another, then He said, build one another up. Not tear each other down. When you hold shame and guilt upon somebody for something that's happened generations past that you had absolutely nothing to do with, folks, that's using shame and guilt instead of realizing that we are marching forward together, all fall short of the glory of God and where we are, but we are seeking to make a difference in who we are today and who God has made us to be. It's giving preference one to another. It's provoking each other to good works, not to jealousy, not to bitterness, not to competition. No, it is truly to provoke one another to good works. Not only that, but it's to bear one another's burdens. I know that that is something that we have to do when someone has experienced injustice. Don't you think it's a right as a Christian to try to come and help hold that burden up? Don't you think that's a good idea? People that have been wronged, it is the right for the Christian to come alongside, to be a shoulder, a help, just an encouragement. But not only that, the Bible tells us to pray for one another. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for one another. Notice with me, if you could, for a moment, over in the book of James, chapter 2. James, chapter 2. James, chapter 2. Right before Peter, you get to Peter, just flip back a few pages. There was an issue even in the church here that Peter was dealing with when it came to treating each other equally. Just as fellow human beings, we stand on level ground. And verse 1, he dealt with that right off. Brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring or goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou here, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, what are the next three words, church? Ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So we do not have respect to persons as their economical status, their ethnicity, and so on. We do not judge based upon that, but we understand that we give the judgment that God desires. And He tells us here that we are to fulfill the royal law, which is loving our neighbor as ourself. So
I gave a sheet out here that I'm not going to go through. I'm going to let you look at the comparisons of Christianity, the Bible. This is not something I put together. This is something I, in my research, I came across in a conference that was given on critical race theory, cultural Marxism versus Christianity in the Bible. I encourage you to read through those. Look at the comparisons. And I believe it's right on target here on origin of life and meaning, destiny, identity. All of these things are important for us to consider. But that's just for your information. Some of these things you're already aware of. But I hope that you'll take a look at those things. In closing, I want us to bring out some good news here. Would you go with me to the book of Revelation? The book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Before I read it, let me say this. I want us to be encouraged tonight because from God's point of view, remember what Paul said in Ephesians 2, all those that are in Christ, we are all one. The world does not want us to believe that. But in Christ, we are one. We are sons and daughters of God Almighty. And there will be one day in eternity, as we see here in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, where ethnically speaking, ethnically diverse and totally sanctified gathering. Notice what it says here in verse 9. And after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Amen. This is what is true here. This is truth. God brings us together in Christ. And when we look at what can our response be to teaching such as critical race theory, well, I want to tell you right now, it goes back to us believing that, look, we are all created in the image of God. We are all that are believers in Christ, bought by the same blood, we're a part of the same family, and those that are unbelievers, those that have yet to be saved, we reach them by saying, look, and your identity is not in your skin color. Your identity is in Jesus Christ when you believe on Him as your personal Savior. So friends, let's be encouraged that God, although these different groups of people and ideologies are trying to spread divisive doctrine and ways to pin groups and ethnicities against each other, listen, we can rise above that. We can. We can absolutely rise above that with the love of Jesus Christ, making a powerful difference. But I am just very encouraged by the fact that the Holy Spirit has given us each the power to do that. So understand this. No one needs to apologize for what color they are. Okay? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Just the way you are. And it is going into churches where even a pastor was apologizing for his skin color. And And I think, again, I don't know what his intentions are. I'm not here to judge his motives, but it's even seeping into the churches to make the message more palatable, perhaps. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, it's a trick of the enemy. Because, folks, we are all beautifully made in the image of God. And I'm thankful that God says, as his children, just go out there and preach my truth and stand on it. So that's what we're going to do. Amen. Let's do it. Let's be encouraged. God's making a difference. Jesus is winning. Okay? And as I think upon whatever it might be, critical race theory and others that we will perhaps look at, I think we got maybe two more to look at. But in spite of all of this, God is on the move. And I believe all these other things are really happening, but it's a distraction. It is a distraction. And I hope tonight that you'll do your dead level best to go out into a world and share the love of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the folks that have come out tonight. And Lord, I realize that we are against an enemy who is seeking to destroy, divide. He's seeking to distract. And I just pray that, Lord, we would not fall for the devil's tricks and his traps. Pray that we'll do what you've always told us to do, what you told there in the book of James, and Lord, what you told even Peter there with Cornelius and others, Lord, in the Word of God. I pray that we would be faithful. I pray that we'd be faithful to just allow you to live through us. And Lord, I do pray that those that are filled with pride and that are racist toward other ethnicities, I pray that they would repent and get right with you and turn from their wicked ways. And so, Lord, I trust you now to do a work in your church here at Crooked Creek Baptist. And, Lord, help us to do your will with your power for your glory. I do ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.